there are a number of ways in which tefillah is different in Tisha B'Av, both in the quantity, but also in theory, the quality might be quite different. And what I want to address today is that our tefillah in some ways in Tisha B'Av must have been different. And I'll say from the outset that originally I was planning on giving this before Mincha, which might have made a little more sense, but you'll see how it can even relate at this particular moment. But I think it's still helpful for us to understand a little bit what was tefillah about us for today. Because today was a day of mourning. Today was a day of mourning. And how does that coalesce with tefillah? The truth is that right now, instead of giving a shir, we should be saying an ilah. Ilah is something we often associate with Yom Kippur. But in fact, in theory, we should be saying the ilah right now. Put these up for those who aren't Zoom. Gemara says in Psafim that Tisha B'Av is not like other public fast days. So how's it different from other public fast days? One answer given is Latfilas Ne'ilah, that Ne'ilah, in fact, as Rashi explains, they used to say Ne'ilah on regular fast days, not just Yom Kippur, but they used to say Ne'ilah on a regular fast day. On Tisha B'Av, we don't. Another way Tisha B'Av might be different is because there are 24 brachas, so six extra brachas that are added on other fast days. We don't say those on Tisha B'Av. But either way, there's something different about tefillah. So that begs the question. Why don't we say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av? Why aren't we saying Ne'ilah right now? So there's a pasuk in Eicha that says, Gam ki azak vashaveya satam tefilati. When I cry and plead, he shuts out my prayer. Tefillah is closed out. Rashi says on the pasuk, Satam chalonos harakia befaneha. He shut the windows of the heavens before it. That is quite a major blow. If you were ever to interface with someone, you knew that they weren't listening, they were interested in listening, you would never want to talk to them. There'd be no point. It's one thing to talk to somebody and they disagree with you and you have an argument, but if somebody's not going to even give you the time of day, they're not going to listen, you wouldn't want to have that conversation. So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu shut out our tefillos at the Korban, and if that perhaps is reflected on Tisha B'Av, then why would anybody want to daven? Why would you want to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu if he's not listening, if he's shutting out your tefillos? And maybe if you're desperate, you try anyway. And it could be that the Jewish people are desperate. But if anything, it seems like Tisha B'Av seems to be a time to tone down the tefillah, because why bother if Hashem's listening? Maybe Hashem doesn't want us to daven. That's actually reflected in the Navi Yeshayahu that our korbanos were not desired when our hands were bloody. So if we're truly in a state where we've transgressed too much, you know, on the one hand, there's a part of us that even, you know, if we were doing the right thing, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was davening, we wouldn't want to daven if he wasn't listening. But on the other hand, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want our tefillos if we've sinned to that degree. I'll add to this problem by thinking that you think that on a day of tragedy, do you think we'd say slichos? When we look at other fast days, Shiva Esar B'Tammuz was a tragic day, and we fasted, and nonetheless we said slichos, and we might make lots of pleas to turn the situation around. So what do we do with that? One thing I should add, by the way, before I get to that point, was that the Gemara in Brachos says that miyom shachar beis hamikdash ninalu shayrei tefillah. The gates of tefillah were locked. They were shut out, and this pasuk, gam ki azak hashaveh satam tefillati, is used as a proof. It's used as a proof. And further on, it says in Gemara, Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Nifsaka Chomas Barzel Ben Yisrael Lavi Yom Shabbat Shemaim. There was an iron wall that stood between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we make of the fact that on the one hand, our tefillos are shut out? On the other hand, I might argue that we should be saying something in Tzichos today. And in fact, the Torah notes that Rav Amram wrote in his Siddur that there is a custom to say lots of Tzichos. Say lots of Tzichos. But we don't say Tchinos because it's a Moed. It's a Moed today. It's very strange. And that also comes from Pasuk in Eicha, that Tisha B'Av is a Moed. What kind of holiday is it today? We're fasting. It's a very strange thing. It's a holiday? So last week or a couple weeks ago, we discussed how Tisha B'Av is meant to turn into a Yontif, Mirza Hashem B'Karov, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. That we discussed. But there's another way of looking at what kind of Moed this is. And to that, I take us to the Ali Shore of Shlomo Volbe. And this makar was, I heard actually in two shiurim I listened to this week, one by my teacher, Rabbi Larry Rothwax. And this, just this afternoon, was brought up by Rabbi J.J. Schachter. The Ali Shore quotes his Rabbi, who said something very deep. Yishna Moadim Shel Kiruv, there are certain kinds of holidays that are about coming close, or draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there are Moadim of Richuk. There are holidays of drawing back, of where we're distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a fascinating thing, that we have such a thing as a holiday, but it's a holiday where we're distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Shalosh Regalim, we're supposed to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Supposed to come closer. And Tisha B'Av, we draw back. And what might you not do if you feel distant from someone? You wouldn't talk to them. You would think we shouldn't. And only furthers the point. Yeah. Okay, so we don't say Trinos on Tisha B'Av because it's a Moed of Richuk. Okay, so it seems like that's a proof that we shouldn't talk. So Hashem, we shouldn't daven. And in fact, when we looked in the Shulchan Aruch, so we're told, Ein Omrim Tachanun, Velo Slichos, B'Tish Ba'av, Ve'Ein Ofim Al-Pneihem Yishum, D'Mikrei Moed, it's considered a Moed. So one way of reading this is that and I think the Aruch HaShulchan reads it this way, that we don't say Tachanun on a Tish Ba'av because eventually it's going to be a Moed and we have that hope. That's what we discussed a couple weeks ago. But perhaps the reason why we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av is because it's a Moed of Richuk. It's not a time to add extra tefillos. And in fact, the Beis Yosef quotes on the Agos HaShiri that says that, you know, that there was a custom not to say Slichos on Tisha B'Av because it's a Moed. Darkei Moshe codifies this, says this is a custom of Ashkenaz. So there we go. It's a moed and perhaps a moed of richuk, and therefore we don't say slichos and we don't say any sort of tchinos. And further on, the Shulchan Aruch adds, "V'chol kaddishim shomrim machar echa ad sheyotzin lemachar ibeis hakenazis inarim tiskabel." That line, "Tiskabel tzot hon van hon decho Yisrael." So that's an Aramaic line. It means, "Please accept all of our prayers and requests." And we don't say that at night or in the morning, from the time we read echa until we come back from Mincha. So that seems to further add to that. And further on, we don't say Kelar Chapaim when we take out the Torah. We don't say Lam Natzeach. And the reason for that, given by the Mishnah Berurah, Dichtiv Sham Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara. Hashem's going to answer you on a day of Tzara. And that's not appropriate to be saying. Hashem is not answering us today, Satam Tfilati, Hashem is not answering us. It's not appropriate to say Yancha, to say anything that involves answering our tefillos. And I would add to that, it's not mentioned anywhere here, but we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. Conspicuously absent is Avinu Malkeinu. Why didn't we say Avinu Malkeinu all day? Seems to be quite strange. Avinu Malkeinu, it seems to be a day to ask, Asei Laman, you know, Harugim Hashem Kodshecha, to ask Hashem to answer our prayers for all the people who died, O Kiddush Hashem. As we discussed in the keynotes this morning, but it's a moed, perhaps, as Ali Shor said, a moed of Richuk, or just in turn, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Satam Tzvilati, Hashem, shout out our prayers, so the things we take out. But I'm still quite bothered. I'm still quite bothered because, and this is what I was grappling with this morning, because we say Korbanos. In fact, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that we're not allowed to learn Torah, but you're allowed to say everything that's part of what we normally say during davening, including Ezu Mekoman, parts of Korbanos. And it's very strange because you're going to take out Tachanun, you're going to take out other things, take out Tzlichos Lamnatzeach, you're going to take out Avin Malkeinu, so why not make the argument that Hashem rejected our Korbanos, he prevented us from being able to offer them, so we should totally take that out. Because Korbanos are meant to take place, our Tzlichos are meant, saying Korbanos is meant to take the place of doing Korbanos. So maybe today that's not appropriate. It seems a little strange to me. And I had even more trouble this morning as I was saying Pesukei DeZimra, to be quite honest, because on a day like this, when we're mourning, we're saying Kinos, so we're about to, and when we said Eicha last night, and we were having a very uncomfortable dialogue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu about all the sorrows that befell Am Yisrael, and we're saying Hallelujah, and we're adding on to the praises, we're distant. What's going on with that? And why bother davening Shmona Esrei while we're at it? Is it being answered? Is Hashem listening to our tefillos today? Is Hashem tefillati? Maybe he's not answering our prayers today. And maybe we just, sort of as the kids are alluded to, Seder Hayom, davening is something that we just sort of leave in place. We don't alter it in an extreme way, especially perhaps when it comes to especially if something, Yishbon Esrei, maybe, if you want to say it's Daraisa, maybe you can't take it out. But it's very difficult. But there are a couple of different ways we can look at this. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, earlier on, discussed how we daven Arvis Benachas V'derech Bechi Kavelim. We daven Mariv slowly and crying like mourners. Rabbi Meicha V'Kinos Gam Kein Benachas V'Derech Bechi. We say Kinos and Eicha also through crying. And Shacharis also Mispalim Gam Kein Benachas V'Derech Bechi. We also daven Shacharis slowly and crying. The Gemara in Brachos that I quoted earlier that said that Hashem shut out our tefillos. The gates of tears were not locked ever. And perhaps that's what davening bebechi is about, is that when we daven normally, perhaps, you know, we're a little more dispassionate. And when we're dispassionate, it's easy to dismiss. Sometimes if you ever want to get something, you know, you're dealing with customer service, or they're not giving you what you want, or you're at the airport and they did something with their luggage, or they're not putting them on the flight. So you can argue with them, they're not going to budge. And then the second you start crying, so you get what you want. And perhaps there's something different between just saying something, but when you're crying, it can't be dismissed. We're crying, we're showing our understanding of the distance. Our crying shows that we understand what the nature of the day is, that we understand that we're far away from our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and yet it's our last plea, it's our last begging. Sharei Dima Lo Ninalu. And perhaps we use the word tefillah to channel our bechi, what, regardless of what the content is, but we can use tefillah as a way to help us cry and arouse our bechi, and perhaps also in Shmona Esrei. So yeah, so maybe tefillahs are shut out on some level, but the cries are not simply requests at that point. Brings us a little farther. We're not just saying Slach Lanu Avinu. We're not just saying Reina Avinu. We're not just saying Gushalim Yircha Kiyushvascha Kivinu Kolayim. We're not just saying that, but we're crying it. And maybe when we do it, maybe that's why Kitzur says we have to do it that way, because that way the bechi is not locked down. Perhaps that's why we say Anenu as well. That even though we're explicitly asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer requests and in the midst of the fast, if we say Anenu b'derech bechi, it's a little bit different. But it gets a little interesting because things start to change in the afternoon. For one thing, we said Nachem this afternoon. Okay, in fact, so Svardim say Nachem in the morning too. I don't know if at night also. Shulchan Aruch says, "Aminak pashut she'enam Nachem rak b'tfilas mincha shel Tisha B'Av." We say Nachem in the afternoon, and Rav Soloveitchik uses this as proof that there's a marked shift in character. We insert Tiskabel. We're ready for consolation. But the Shulchan Aruch says the reason why we say Nachem specifically in the afternoon, the fisha asit tita b'mikdash eish. That's when the fire took hold in the mikdash. And then we have no choice. We have to daven for comfort. Maybe at that point, that's real. The real desperation. We have no other choice. We have to daven for comfort. But if this is the time that the Korban happened, if right now, where we're standing right now, Korban really finished on Yud Av. That's when we had the restrictions that last longer. If the Korban happened as we're speaking, and not a rabbi, why are we taking any comfort right now? Why are we looking for any consolation? Proper manners, Pirkei Avos says, is that we don't comfort the mourner when the mace is mutal, when the mace is right in front of them. So why are we taking comfort right now? If anything, right now would be the last time we should have. Okay, earlier on, it wasn't quite as bad, but now as the base of Mikdash is burning, what are we davening? There's a famous midrash in Eicha Rabbah that points to a psalm, Perek Tehillim. It begins, Nizmor la'asaf elkim ba'u goyim menachasecha. Heathens have entered your domain to burn the Beis HaMikdash. And the midrash questions, why is it Nizmor? Nizmor sounds like it's a song, it's happy or joyful. The Midrash says, Mizmor la'asaf, Shbechi la'asaf, Kina la'asaf. What's Mizmor la'asaf about? And it gives an analogy that the king was going to marry off his son, and he was building the most beautiful chuppah, upwards of $20,000, if that's even possible. Probably is. But then the son goes and he's doing bad things. He's out to Tarbusra. And then the king destroys the chuppah. And then the teacher of this young man begins to play the flute, starts to play. And what are you doing? Father, the father of this boy just canceled the wedding. And he smashed this beautiful chuppah, and you're playing songs. And he says, the reason why I'm singing is because he chose to take out his anger on the chuppah instead of on the boy. And that's what the Midrash says about the Beis HaMikdash. It's Mizmor La'asaf because instead of entirely destroying the Jewish people, which is what Hashem wanted to do after Chet HaEgel, after the Meraglim, Hashem didn't take out his anger on the Jewish people, but he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And when they saw it was just the Beis HaMikdash of stones, but not Yisrael, therefore it's Mizmor La'asaf. And perhaps in the afternoon, we see that our tefillos aren't entirely shut out. It's not entirely worthless. But there's a place for hope. And Nachem is proof that we can have some level of consolation. Yes, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but Bnei Yisrael were not. And perhaps it's important to Bechi, because we're crying for consolation. We've gone through something traumatic, and we're crying for HaKadosh Baruch Hu just to give us some sort of consolation for each other, to give some consolation. Rav Aaron Kant points out that it's Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. So who's the Nachamu in the plural? It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really Klal Yisrael. We're crying for comfort. We cry for Hashem to not take anger out on us, but rather on the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll add to this by noting, go back to the Ali Shor. The Ali Shor said that Tisha B'Av is a moed of Rikuk. So why is it a moed? So why make that a holiday? If you're acknowledging that there was some sort of distancing, so why is that a holiday? It still doesn't really answer the question. So he explains that at the moment of the Churban, well, before the Churban, let's say, you look at the Navi, the Jews didn't really understand what they were doing wrong. They thought everything, shalom, shalom, everything will be fine. They didn't realize, they kept offering korbanos, they didn't change their ways, they didn't realize what they were doing was wrong. But when the Churban came, Bekiris Atmas Rechukam, they realized the essence of their being distanced. And on the fact that they were able to gain that self-awareness and to realize the distance was already a first step. And that's why it's a moed of Rechuk. And he says, this is very powerful to me, Omnam Rechuk aval yachas yesh kfar beino lebein boro. That even though there was a distancing, once they're able to recognize that there was a distancing, there was still some sort of connection. They weren't totally gone. They were still somewhat there. The other day, I think was it yesterday or 2 days ago, this past week was they had the Michalal Herzog and Alon Shvut had their Yemei Iyun B'Tanach. They've never been able to go, but it was online. And Mori V'Rabbi or Moshe Lichtenstein was discussing Eicha and Iyov and Kohalas and where they come together, where they're different. And it was knowing that in Eicha, there was Yirmiyahu's concern that Hashem was going to leave us. You see throughout that, I'm not going to point to every example, but there's really that concern that Hashem is abandoning us. And perhaps that's what the crying shows. The fact that we daven through crying, the fact we could just stop davening, but the fact that we're davening, albeit through crying, shows that there's still some sort of connection, even if there's distancing, even if there's rikhuk. It's interesting, Dr. Erica Brown points out, Terem Yikrov Ani Anet, before I call out, you're going to answer me. We say that in Anenu. It's a strange phrase. But that also shows that Kadosh Baruch Hu is still sort of there with us. That, you know, all we want is we don't want to have to show that we're desperate. We want the person to realize in a situation that we need the consolation without having to say it. And I think here we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to acknowledge our sorrow, to give comfort before we ask. And even if there still is that gap, there's that rechuk, at least acknowledging the sorrow shows that we still maintain that connection. So I think in trying to figure out ultimately what's prayer supposed to do on Tisha B'Av and why are we doing it, I think ultimately it's about dialectic. And this is something that Rav Soloveitchik throughout his thought emphasized and thought was very important, that humanity and life is very complex, it's complicated, and sometimes things don't always, it's not either or. I think that's a tension that we were living with today on Tisha B'Av. On the one hand, it's Ikrei Moed because there's a future, even though we're still mourning, but on the other hand, we're still mourning, maybe there's hope. But ultimately, relationships are complicated. And our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu today, I think, is somewhat complicated, and that's demonstrated with the tefillos. There's some that we leave out, some that we say, and the morning is different from the afternoon. But, you know, that's what to have a relationship with someone, but to be distant, sort of shows that complication, that the relationship isn't entirely severed, but it's distant, and that's complicated. They're still dialectic, and I'm not going to elaborate on what kind of situations could be like that, but we can think of situations in life where maybe we maintain a connection with somebody, but it's a complicated connection. But we're not going to take a step to shut them out. So what's with Ne'ilah? As we began with, we don't say Ne'ilah this afternoon. In theory, maybe now, based on the halach we've developed, maybe we could be saying Ne'ilah right now. Maybe Satan Tefillah is not so applicable in the afternoon. Rav Soloveitchik's answer to that is that because Ne'ilah is a call to, for Hashem to answer all of the Tefillos of the whole day, like it is on Yom Kippur, so perhaps it's on Shayach. If it was Satan Tefillah for part of the day, so you can't say Ne'ilah. But what we see here is that on the one hand, prayer is shut out, and maybe we're a little angry. But on the one hand, Hashem is still there. Hashem is still our God. And we're not going to disengage from that. And ultimately, we hope that Hashem hears. I think my experience of Tefillah today was a little bit that dialectic. There's parts where it was easy to connect to Tefillah to feel the sorrow. And there's other parts that's difficult. And I think that's part of what the nature of the day is about. And in fact, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein and Nashir pointed out that this is what you see in the last psukim of Eicha. The last few psukim of Eicha, Ata Hashem l'olam teshev kisach alador vador. But you, our Lord, are enthroned forever. Your throne endures throughout the ages. So that knowledge is Hashem is melech. Hashem is there. We know Hashem is there. And then Pasuk Kaf, Lama ne'azach tishkachen tazvinu l'rachamim. Why have you forgotten us utterly, forsaken us for all time? Hashem seems to be distant from us, almost going to forget us. But then, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadesh Yameinu kakada. There you have that tension. On the one hand, Hashem, we're worried about Hashem forgetting us and severing the connection. But on the other hand, we haven't quite given up hope yet. Nachem Hashem Elokeinu, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. That some consolation will be that Hashem will bring us back to Him and it will be restored to Him. I want to just end, perhaps, by noting a blog post of a senior colleague of mine, Rabbi Zev Goldberg, who's Rabbi of Young Israel Fort Lee. And he wrote a beautiful blog post about Sasam Tfilati and what we're going through right now. He says, these two words, Sasam Tfilati, resonate very differently with me this year. As we sat on the floor last year and read Megillas Eicha, who could have imagined that this year synagogues throughout the world would be closed or services severely curtailed? Who would have imagined? And he says, although I'm grateful that I'm here in Fort Lee, he goes on to discuss how davening has been different. And all in all, it's an experience of Sasam Tfilati that Hashem showed out our prayers somewhat over the last few months. And he gives an example. They were davening on Shabbos afternoon. They were davening outside. And Maruch Chazar Sashat began to pour. People had to run home. And despite our best intentions, the minyan could not finish Satam Tfilati. Then he goes on, and I'm going to read this inside. Traditionally, one of the greatest obstacles to a meaningful experience at Tisha B'Av has been the fact that we don't feel like mourners. Why mourn for a destroyed temple and exiled people when life in the exile is peaceful, prosperous, and calm? I do think our Tisha B'Av experience this year should be different. Longing for something more, yearning for a world that was, is unfortunately no longer foreign to us. How we all wish we could return to the normal life we enjoyed just a few months ago. Tisha B'Av is a time to mourn. We mourn the destruction of the two temples that once stood proudly in Yerushalayim. More deeply, we mourn for our relationship with God that was once intimate and close. Today, that relationship feels strained and distant. May this year's Tisha B'Av be meaningful. May this year be the last year when we daven Maariv outside and recite Eicha over Zoom. May this be the last year when we feel distance from the Almighty. May this be the last year when we daven with masks that stifle our song. So this year we've perhaps felt a little bit of that distance, a little bit of that difference. But my hope is that next year It's not that we're going to be in here doing a regular davening, but we'll be in Yerushalayim celebrating the Moed of Tisha B'Av. And I think when we think about our tefillos today, so hopefully our tefillos of Nachem are being answered, that all the troubles that the Jewish people have experienced and continue to experience will be answered. And hopefully this helps us make sense of what we went through today, and also something to think about to file away for next year. Wishing everyone a meaningful end to the best.